Waigiri ga kasa, waigiri ga pade. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Seek Within. I'm your host, Dr. Savvy. This week, we've got a special episode. A special episode that features me. I was actually on BBC Radio 2 recently. I hope you enjoy it. I'm talking about interfaith, I'm talking about Vasaki, and in between, Ella Jones plays some inspirational music.
It's 20 to 8 on a Sunday morning. Good to have your company, as always. Hope you're well. I'm delighted to say now that sitting opposite me is Savvy Aurora. How are you, Savvy?
Not bad. Good to see you.
Yeah, and you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
You look really, really well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Very, very fit, I would say.
Oh, really? That's very nice of you to say so.
What have you been up to since last time I saw you?
Well, apart from running the streets and all the rest of it, you know, trying to keep... But no. I've actually been involved in the Interfaith Youth Trust, because I'm actually one of the chairs of that. Well, I am the chair, actually. I've got chairs second year around, one of the chairs. We all sit around a table. And one of the things that we do is that we fund children's charities for getting people from different faiths to come together to kind of learn more about each other. And rather than them saying, well, we're actually quite protective about being a Hindu, a Sikh, or a Muslim, or a Christian, or a Jew, or a humanist, they go and find out common values, and they get close to their religion.
Fantastic.
And a great, you know, interfaith kind of work, really, in the context that they're not seeing each other from a you're this and we're that. We're kind of, hey, we've got so many things in common, haven't we?
Brilliant. Mm. And how do you find that they get on?
They write a little report afterwards, so they get funded, and then they write a little report or do a little DVD or something and send it to us, and in that way it's proof. I mean, it was a charity set up by a Jewish lady many years ago to encourage that kind of dialogue, and one of the best ones I saw was in Scotland, where they went on an outward bound. It was a Sikh lady called Rajinder Kaur who runs it, and basically they came back and wrote a little pamphlet about all the things in, you know, Christianity and in the Muslim religion and Sikh religion that are important about the environment. So, you know, it's quite good for them to do that, I think.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Vaisakhi, Sikh New Year Festival. It falls on Wednesday, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, apart from the fact that today 100,000 people are going to be walking the streets in West London, mm-hmm. And different festivals around the world as well, in terms of just a parade, what tends to happen in Vaisakhi, especially with Sikhs, is that they have something called a Nagar Kirtan. And a Nagar stands for town, and Kirtan stands for hymns. And they'll go and walk the streets, do a parade, and they'll actually share in food and, you know, free drinks and just a joyous festival that happens. But one of the main reasons it started for Sikhs, especially, if you look back in 1675, what you had then was Aurangzeb, who took over the throne from Shah Jahan, took it off Shah Jahan. He was conducting an ethnic cleansing campaign, but the Sikhs at the time actually got together, the 10th Guru, the Sikhs, Guru Gobind Singh, actually established the Khalsa, you know, the 5Ks, the image of mm-hmm. the Sikhs, and the Sikhs had been around already for a while, but established the Sikh religion in terms of its true identity, and that kind of unified everyone together to fight against that tyranny.
So it's an important festival for you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine, I'll give him a quick shout out, Mukesh, and he said to me, you know, the Hindus have been doing it as well, in the context that I think in different parts of India, different goddesses are kind of worshipped, but I mean, Sikhs are kind of really more associated with the Vaisakhi with the V, but the Vaisakhi with the B is more of a festival of harvest. It's the first time that the crops are actually the first batch that come out. So the farmers out there have been doing it for hundreds and hundreds of years, you know.
I think you talked about this a couple of years ago with me, and you said that Trafalgar Square was involved in London, where you could go and have some food and all
Absolutely.
That sort of business.
I think it's going to be coming up. I don't think it's actually today. I think it's probably in a couple of weeks' time, but you can check on the website for County Hall.
So is this just for Sikhs, or can anyone join in?
You can come along, yeah. It's open to everyone. Yeah, come down. Yeah, get some free
just
food.
A mention of food, exactly. Why are you looking at me like that? I know I'm not as skinny as you. Get on. You know, we've got lots of celebrations coming up, though, of course. Easter for Christians, and also have to mention the royal wedding.
Absolutely.
But what I like about it, there's lots of scope for getting together with a local community, and maybe, you know, you don't know who your neighbour is, but this is a great opportunity to find out.
And it's quite interesting to look at the street party thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And kind of open the door, because when you get home at night and you shut the door, and do people really kind of integrate or talk to each other, or, you know, kind of identify with common issues? And the street party is a good excuse for that, you know. I think I mentioned to you I'm involved in the bike ride from Birmingham to London, and one of those things that we have there is all different communities coming together to do something good for a charity. And I'm actually a strong believer that you forget your differences. You know, you heard that cliche about strength through diversity, but you forget your differences when you focus on a common issue, you know. And I think that maybe that's what it is, that it doesn't matter whether this is a religious event or whether it's something to help somebody out. But, you know, if someone falls over in the street, they don't say, well, actually, I'm not going to help you because you're this type of person.
No.
Your nature will go and help that person. And I think identifying common things to celebrate are ways ways to forget your differences, but identify common attributes and common good things, you know.
Absolutely brilliant. We're talking about luck on the programme this week. Do you believe in luck?
I have to say that Sikhs don't believe in superstition or anything, and I was quite fascinated by your previous guest,
Becky.
Becky was talking about, you know, you've got to trust in God, and Sikhs are quite similar to that in the context that, you know, there's this thing called God's will. You know, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's not like it's written down or whatever, but there is a kind of philosophical debate to a certain extent that if it's written down, you know, it's written in your cards.
You know,
like going to heaven and saying, I came to heaven too early because, you know, I filled my timesheet incorrectly. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, I think you have to trust in God, but, well, your thing about walking under a ladder, really, I mean, that's just, you know, you're trying to create the physical versus the kind of spiritual, and I don't think you can really mix the two together because they're not set on par. They're different dimensions. But we personally, Sikhs, don't believe in superstition.
Right, the next ladder I'll see, I'll walk underneath it. Anything happens to me, it's your fault.
Oh, yeah, thanks, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you very much for now. We'll talk some more after this.
Woke up this morning soon, singing this song. Don't you know the words came to me in a dream so strong? Song said, we got to shout the good news and heed the call. People, let's spread the word, hallelujah. God's kingdom is in us all. This old world's in a fix. Something's not right. Everywhere you look, either war is raging, or someone's looking for a fight. Right now, we got to shout the good news till the walls tumble and fall. People, let's spread the words, hallelujah. God's kingdom is in us all. Brother, don't wait another minute. The hour's getting late. Don't you know it's high time for love to conquer all hate? Don't hesitate, 'cause we got to shout the good news. No time to stall. Let's spread the word, hallelujah. God's kingdom is in us all. Sisters help the men folks learn to forgive. Peace is the way. Let's walk the talk and teach our children every day. With one voice, we got to shout the good news in the schools, in the meeting halls. People, let's spread the word, hallelujah. God's kingdom is in us all. Not just the chosen few, but everyone is true. God's kingdom is in us all. Oh, yeah.
There's only one man with a voice that low. It's Eric Bibb and God's Kingdom. It's 7:48. Savvy Aurora still with me. Richard Harvey's emailed in and says, one of the biggest tests for luck is whether one gets a mention on your show. What are the odds? I believe that if this is read out, it is meant to be, not just a statistical chance. There we go. He said it all. One of the issues discussed this week has been discipline in schools, of course, with one school in particular taking industrial action because staff didn't feel they were being supported by their senior management when they tried to discipline the children. Now, I know that you've been involved with schools. Do you think this is a big problem?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Actually, my wife's a teacher as well, and I think across the board, I think there is actually a national college that actually teaches head teachers and deputy heads basic management skills. But one of the things I think that's important is to consider the difference between leadership and management. And even in leadership, there's different dimensions, which is like, you know, you've got a vision, you've got a set of values. I was talking to someone this week, and they were saying to me, what about fellowship? You know, it's not all about followership, that these are the things that we must instill in our school.
Right.
Do you follow the principles? Do you follow the ethos? But returning back to the kind of leadership versus management, you could teach a class really, really well. You've got all the mechanics, you're doing it all properly. Obviously, you're not getting cooperation from the kids in this situation. And so we have to be really careful because we don't know enough about what's actually going on within the dimensions of the school itself.
Of course.
But the kind of analogy I've always been given about the difference between leadership and management, sure, you've got the processes, you've got the curriculum in place. Leadership is about, well, having a vision. Let's look at an example. You've got a building site, you've got lots of managers that are floating around, making sure that all the things are built properly, the plumbing's done, the electricity's done, and all the rest of it. But the leader gets the ladder, puts it up the side of a building, climbs to the top and says, do you know what, when we finish this estate, do you see that one in the corner? We're going to build that over there. So you see what I mean in terms of like selling, you know, the fact that we've got to go somewhere. But sometimes we don't know what's actually happening inside the kids' heads. Maybe they're demoralised, or maybe it could be they're not inspired, or not a role model. There could be all kinds of things, so we don't really know what's going on there.
But how can classroom teachers be better supported? Is it down to the parents more? Or?
I think it is down to community connection. But then again, what do you do when parents don't want to get involved, or they're in a difficult situation where, you know, we don't know what their society is involved in terms of, is it a high economic environment? Is it a situation where everyone's depressed because there isn't enough money coming into the house? Are they living in estates where, you know, people let riot, there's no real control, or again, we go back to youth leaders, you know, so it's not necessarily about parents, it's also about setting examples about this is good behaviour, this is what you can attain. And I think that sometimes, I mean, even I you know, when you see the American address by the president, you know, there is somebody there saying, this is what we're trying to do, this is where we're trying to head to. And sometimes you don't see that. And I think in their community, if they don't see enough of that communication, they will run riot, you know.
You're taking a course in leadership. Are you going to change as a person?
Well, not a course that I'm actually taking myself, I'm actually giving the course.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'm actually giving it in May, and I think always when you go back and you look at the research, you actually say, well, actually, I never identified that. But, you know, you go through the common stuff in leadership, which is the Maslow stuff and, you know, the hierarchy of need. Do you change as a person? I think when you're presenting, you've got new ideas coming forward. You look at different leaders, and you look at people like Bill Gates, you know, who may have made lots of money, but has got a massive immunisation campaign. So it makes you think that it's not necessarily leadership. It isn't all about trying to say we're going in that direction, to think in lateral ways. Right. So yes, you do change yourself by thinking, I could use that skill slightly differently to do better good for a particular community or inspire an individual. And I think that's where that difference comes in terms of teaching leadership or actually doing it yourself and setting an example.
See, that's why you're a good leader. You're changing all the time. We mentioned earlier in the programme, we're fast running out of time, unfortunately, that it's start of Action for Happiness Week. Do you think it's a good idea?
I think it's good. I like the five steps. And I know that the BBC Breakfast did a whole season on it, didn't they, at one point, a whole week's worth.
Yeah, the five are relationships. This is what you should strive for. This is your five a day, if you like. Relationships, exercise, appreciation, learning and giving.
Yeah, when you're on a running machine, you think, I'm really happy that I'm running at 13 kilometres per hour. Yeah, no, maybe not. But in terms of how fast I go, I don't know. In terms of happiness, I think one of the best studies I've seen is out of New York, done by an ex-MBA student from Harvard, who said, basically what you need to do is before you go to sleep at night, try and do this every day if you can, think of all the good things that you did during the day or something that you did that can help inspire you to be a better person the next day. Now, it's quite difficult to do because you have to think of something different the next night, but apparently it rubs off on you, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, that could be number six, couldn't it? So, you know, think of something good. You know?
I'm going to have to try and do something good today now, then. Mm. What a lot of pressure. Hey, listen, I know you're still into your electronics as well because you've been twittering all week that you're coming
in. Yeah, you've been looking at it.
I've been checking up on you. And Seek Within still going well?
It is, yeah. We've got, I think it was in our fifth, 60 year now, actually. 63 programmes. We did an iPhone app for it, which is for free.
Of course.
It's quite fun. You know, we had to do one of those, you know. Hey, so it's quite good, yeah.
Listen, Savvy, it's always great catching up with you. I know you've got a moment's reflection for us coming up after we've heard from Beth.
Bad day.
Lovely Beth Nielsen Chapman and This Life That's Lent to You. My thanks to Savvy Aurora. Savvy, it's always good catching up with
you. Great catching up with you too.
And good luck in everything you do. And will you come back soon?
I'd look forward to it, yeah.
Yeah, I know you've got a moment of reflection for us. Go on, take it away.
Absolutely. This particular moment of reflection is called People Power or People of Power. We're all watching the news and almost hourly developments of people close to Europe and further afield struggling to free themselves from their current rulers and injustices. Every day it seems that more lives are lost or put at risk at the hope for an outcome that will result in a new and fairer way forward for a country. As we sit in our armchairs watching from a distance, I wonder if we ever thought about why it takes so long to demand change. Maybe it's because often people with power want to hang on to it. Or could it be that people have adopted an apathetic approach to life as their survival depends upon it? People can also be unknowingly conditioned to accept the status quo. In mid-April 1699, the 10th Sikh guru, Guru Gobind Singh, established a Sikh identity called the Khalsa. Its establishment continues to do defending the defenceless, honest living and equality. Guru Gobind Singh lost his father, mother and children in the struggle for freedom. The Sikhs succeeded in fighting for freedom. In some countries and societies, the challenge continues.
Well, that's it for this show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to listen to the shows, you can go to www.seekwithin.com. You can get the shows from iTunes. You can also get the shows from the iPhone app. And you can also send me an email anytime you want to by simply emailing me at seekwithin@yahoo.com. Waigiji ga khalsa, waigiji vada.